It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Your program called Sound Mind, and you're getting right to the basics today, talking about thoughts and the term we hear often in the church, taking every thought captive, and you've come to some interesting conclusions about this idea.
I think working with people, you know, clients, but just other people, other brothers and sisters, and you know, we're just never through learning. So it's kind of I like what I do. It's exciting. It's very spiritually enlightening. You know, a lot of people, the people that I see. Almost across the board are believers, and you know, they have certain strengths, and they have a journey with the Lord, and I benefit from that too. But yeah, here are some things that have come up, and I learn as I go, and hopefully that these things that we learn together are helpful to myself and to them.
Okay,
so taking every thought captive now. Taking thoughts captive, of course, is important. We know that whether we have anxiety or depression or concerns, addictive behaviors to anger, anything, that a part of getting life under control is taking our thoughts captive. I want to jump right into this scripture that we think about when we hear those words, taking thoughts captive, and it's from Corinthians chapter 10 and 3-6, and I want to just introduce by reading this and making a couple of comments on it and then jumping in, you know, both feet into the topic here. So I'm going to start in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, and this is from the English Standard Version. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. And so I read this and I think, typically, I think a lot of Christians, just when they read across this, they just assume that Paul is saying, you know, we're here, we live in the flesh, we live in this world, but occasionally we have to do some spiritual warfare. I'm rethinking that, and I'm thinking that what he's saying here is that as believers, the whole context of our existence is a battlefield. It's our entire, the whole context. It isn't just an occasional battle that we fight, but it's constant.
Yeah.
And so we go verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroying strongholds. We destroy arguments, every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive in Christ. So if you take out that last line, take every thought captive in Christ, destroying strongholds, destroying arguments and lofty opinions, and the tendency is to think, oh, we're talking about the government, and we're talking about false religions. But then when he says, and take every thought captive, I think, well, is that – whose thoughts are those? Well, those are my thoughts.
Right, there you go.
So it's like, what if this is tearing down the strongholds, the arguments and the lofty opinions? What are those? What if those are the things in my own mind?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking down the thoughts of people around the world or challenging those thoughts. It's my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes sense when we go on to being ready to punish every disobedience. But the final phrase is when your obedience is complete.
Interesting.
We can't be used to judge the world if we aren't righteous, you know. And of course, we're righteous in Christ, but there's that process, isn't it? We're not. We're overcoming sin. So let us jump from that right into the topic here. And so we understand that it's a process. I remember when my daughter was a little tot, and we would take her pictures, and of course, you know, these sometimes you'd have a flash, and when they have a flash, of course, the flash of the light would imprint an image on the iris of the eye, and it looks like a little colored floating cloud.
Right.
And she'd reach out to try to grab that cloud, and of course, it wasn't there. And I sort of think of that when some people think of taking every thought captive. It's like they're trying to reach out and grab a hold of a thought and put it in some kind of prison or something. I said, you don't take thoughts captive in that way. We're not putting thoughts in prison. And also, it's not an idea that occasionally there's a thought, because he says taking every thought captive. So what can he mean by taking every thought captive? And I think he's implying here every thought implies the whole thought process. So we want our minds to be disciplined, the whole mind, not just the occasional thought, but the whole mind. And so it's a mind and brought this idea of taking thoughts captive is a mind and brain process, and which is what I want to try to get into. The quintessential example, of course, would be possibly anger and behavior. And I think anger and behavior, or addiction, anger and addiction. Addiction is one behavior associated with anger. And, of course, they may seem different when we talk about, well, an addiction versus an anger, because an addiction is something that we would associate with dopamine, pleasant feelings, relief, et cetera, whereas anger is something that seems very different. You know, it's hard driving, it's in your face, it's aggressive, it's violent sometimes. So they seem different, but actually anger has many faces, as we talked about before on the show, the various faces of anger, addictions being one face of anger. And the reason that we would target on anger here, I think specifically, why I would think of it as the quintessential example, is that anger is at the root of so many things.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger, it says.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger.
And anger is, I've heard... anger is also what depression is. Depression is anger toward inward, turned inward.
Yeah, you know, look at anger. We've talked about faces of anger, and I do a lot of anger management. And as a matter of fact, I tell people, as you say, depression, anxiety, addictions, so many things.
Was anger at the world, anger at yourself, anger at your own... you know, lack of value, control, and power, above?
Or? It's rooted in that. It's I was going to say even spending money that you can't afford to spend, habits that you can't afford to have, self-destructive, you know, destructive toward other people, selfishness, the various personality disorders, and go on and on and on. And all of these things are types of anger. Because if I want to define anger in this way. It's a fear and shame-based defense mechanism associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power. If you've listened to the show a lot, you've heard me define it in that way before. These things, whether they're anger or addictions, these various things, they're obviously this. They're a reach for, I need to feel valued, I want to have control, and I want to have power or resources. Those three things are so fundamental to our Earth existence, to be valued, to have control, not over other people, but control over things that can, that have an impact on my life, and also to have resources. So they're all, if you think about it, they're all kind of anchored in fear, and they're anchored in shame. We've talked about that before. Fear has to do with our mortality, of course. If we were immortal, if there were no clock on our lives, we weren't under the death sentence because of sin, what would we fear? There wouldn't be any fear. In fact, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. So the love of God, or, you know, God being love, those two are, they can't coexist. And so we have fear because of the lack of presence of the presence of God in our lives. So we say, so fear has to do with that sentence of our sin and the sentence of death, our separation from God. Shame has to do with worth. We're shamed because we question our worth, and we question our worth because, again, of our broken relationship with God. Remember that in the Garden of Eden, they were created naked and they were not ashamed. And then after they sinned, they covered themselves. They put on these defense mechanisms, in a sense, because they were, of course, ashamed. It was a matter of worth. So they're all a reach for, you know, value, control, and power, and they're a product of fear and fear and shame.
Well, you say here in some of your notes, too, they may seem different. However, one is the fruit, the other is the tree.
Yeah, that was back to the thought that, you know, when people think of addictions, for example, an alcohol addiction, and they think that just seems very different from anger. Anger is like breaking dishes and slamming doors, and alcohol is just, you know, kind of like
checking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are they the same?
Medicating.
Mm-hmm. They are if you consider that they both have to do with feeling valued, having control, having power. So it isn't so much that the words themselves, but it's the existential reality that we basically what's wrong in life is our broken relationship with God. And again, this is why we have to take the thoughts captive and changing our thoughts and, you know, more centered on Christ, more centered on spiritual growth. But that's where the rub comes in because these fears and fear and shame is so powerful in our lives. And so when I'm talking to clients, talking to people, whether addiction or anger behaviors or difficulty in their marriages, and we're trying to break these habits. And of course, that has to do with our thinking. And I've got this in my mind, BEB, beliefs, emotions, behaviors. And so we're targeting behaviors. Thought processes are behaviors. A thought to think is to behave. Mm-hmm. These things are based in they follow emotions. And, of course, ultimately, they're based in a belief. And the beliefs are hard to get to sometimes, even an instinctive behavior. So imagine that you're walking down the sidewalk or driving down the road and you hear a very loud slam or clap, not like someone clapping, but like maybe a big metal plate dropping on the road or something that, you know, some loud explosion or something. Your instinctive response is to duck your head or to flinch in some way. Mm. So that's a behavior. And you have the sound, and then you have a responsive behavior. Well, there is before that behavior, there is just a fraction of a moment of an emotion. And you would say, well, sure, that's fright or that's fear. Maybe it doesn't last very long. Maybe I figure out very quickly that clap was had an explanation. Mm-hmm. But behind the emotion even is a belief. And so this happens very quickly. Mm-hmm. But the belief is, even though it's an instinctive thing, the belief is that sound could represent something that's hurtful or harmful. Mm-hmm. And so it is true that every behavior is preceded by an emotion, which is preceded by a belief. And so when we're trying to work through this process of taking thoughts captive, ultimately we're dealing with our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to know. A lot of times the beliefs that we have aren't necessarily in narrative form. We don't comprehend the belief that's driving the behavior. When I get angry with someone in traffic, for example, what is the belief that is driving the emotion that is driving that behavior? Well, don't give that much thought. You know, you just have the behavior. You know that it's wrong. It's not what Christ would do. But we rarely question the belief. Why do I have that emotion about that person passing me or that person?
Which is something you need to. You need to get into that space where you can examine why am I having this emotion.
Yeah. Because,
and be able to look back. Right. What's in the rearview mirror that's causing this reaction?
Yeah, it's exactly true.
It's kind of the work you do, bringing people through that process, taking every thought captive, the theme this week. And need to take a quick break here, but Daniel, people are intrigued. They know that they have some issues in their life. They want to have some training on how to take every thought captive. How do they get in touch with you for help?
Now, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, people email me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. If you're going to do that, a caution, I will respond to you every time. I never neglect to respond, but you might find it in your dump box.
Or,
you know, because sometimes they treat
spam these, folder.
Yeah, you might find it there. So look there. And also, maybe a good idea to provide me with a phone number as a kind of a backup contact.
That has something it doesn't say. Sorry, this email box is full.
Yeah,
this voice box is full.
That's right. So offices, Kirkland, Edmonds,
Kirkland and Edmonds?
Kirkland and Edmonds.
There you go. Yeah. And a lot of Skype counseling, too.
And that was it. Zoom.
Zoom counseling. A lot of counseling. That's available
that.
As well. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is taking us through the idea of taking every thought captive. So many of our behaviors that we're disappointed with in our life start as thoughts. And this is an interesting concept that the Bible talks about. Again, the foundational scripture for this is 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, mm-hmm. which mentions this term taking every thought captive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so we were just the last portion of the show. If you're just tuning in, that had to do with we were talking about every behavior, which to think is to behave, and so every thought is based is rooted in an emotion. Actually, the word emotion means emotion means to cause or to precede motion. So the behavior being the motion and the emotion. So every behavior is preceded by an emotion. Every emotion is preceded by a belief. I have a feeling about how someone acts toward me or how the politics of the world, things happening around the world, all these experiences we have, emotions about our experiences because there are some underlying beliefs, most of which I think we can live and be totally unaware of it. You know, the word believe means to believe, to live according to, and so our behaviors are always based in our beliefs. And so as you were saying, Mark, we need to get back and look at those beliefs if we're going to change the behaviors. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I work a lot with people who, obviously, people who want to make changes. Kind of as I was saying earlier, the quintessential example is what we would call anger or addictions. And anger has many, many faces. Getting in debt is a form of anger.
Hmm. Debt is a form of anger.
Well, because it's a reach for value, control, and power, resources. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is I need to have this, you know, and so
I deserve this.
I deserve this, and mm-hmm. so those kinds of things that, you know, if you look around in your life, if we were to explore the faces of anger, you would begin to see anger in so many different ways. You know, I was thinking of a person or an organization actually the other day, thinking about some of the behaviors of this particular organization, and the thought came to mind, well, they have no boundaries, so they don't have good boundaries. That's kind of like the simple description of the way this organization behaves. Well, setting boundaries, even poor boundaries, can be an anger behavior, because it can also be, you know, a reach for value, control, and power. And of course, that reach for value, control, and power is rooted in that broken relationship with God, because it's rooted in fear and shame, and that's a result of the brokenness with God. Mm-hmm. So I've been working with people, and as I say, this process that I'm going to introduce is accentuated and it's clarified when I'm working with people specifically with anger or with addictions. Anger outbursts and misunderstandings and things in relationships. So it's a little broader field like that. But the examples I'm going to give have to do probably primarily with people that I've talked to in the past week or two that have addictive habits, and they want to break those habits. So to control my thinking, I've got to control my beliefs. Now I've got this little BEB, behaviors, emotions. Are beliefs, emotions, behaviors, in that order. Beliefs drive emotions, drive behaviors. So I envision this little man or woman in a in a little train. It's got three cars. One of the cars, the back car is called beliefs. The middle car is emotions. And they're stuck in the car that's labeled behaviors. And they're going down the track and the bridge is out. They're about to go over the cliff. And they need to stop the train, but they can't get to the controls because the controls are up in the clouds. So they've got to somehow get up. And the reason the controls are up there is because this is a metaphor of the brain, where the lower brain is where these kinds of emotional, addictive, anger, fight or flight, what they call the old brain, the survival brain, down in the lower part of the brain.
The lizard brain.
Yeah. And the rational, the reasoning, is up in the higher part of our brain, up in the forward lobes and the higher part of our brain. And so that's where the controls are. So when people have these addictive behaviors or anger outbursts and they ask me, you know, what can I do, like, on the spur of the moment to sort of arrest this behavior and snap myself out of it? Well, you have to get up to the controls. So you've got to do something. Ask yourself a question or make a provocative statement to yourself that gets you from your lower brain to your rational brain. So one of the very simple things was I woke up I think it was the night last week or something, and I had these troubling thoughts in my mind, and I thought, why am I having these troubling thoughts? First, just having the troubling thoughts, and then kind of realizing, wait a second, why am I having these troubling thoughts? Where are they coming from? Now, you see what I did right there. I asked myself a question that required some thought, and that quickly, I'm now using my higher brain. I'm up at the control box, and I can shut the train down. Mm. And so now I'm no longer just having the thought. I'm thinking about the thought. So now I'm actually in the upper part of the brain. And from that point, I realized that once I was up in the upper part of my brain, I thought, okay, well, how would I stay here? And for some reason, I started thinking of the guitar neck. Now, so I played guitar for many, many years. And I, in my mind, I could hear a little blues lick. Now, this won't make a lot of sense to you unless you play an instrument, but I could hear this little blues lick, and so I could envision the guitar neck. And through a system that I know of called the cage system, there are certain shapes of chords and certain patterns of scales. And so as I heard this melodic line in my head, I was trying to envision what pattern that was coming from, which one of the patterns that was coming from. So I had to think of half steps and whole steps. Now I'm getting much, much further from those troubling thoughts. Mm. Now they're a long ways away. Mm. And so I was thinking about that, and I thought about it for quite a long time and thought, yeah, I think it's in this particular... And then I had this kind of the presence of mind to think, you know, I'm also interested in other things, and had a recent birthday. I'm very young now, going backwards, but I had and for the birthday I got a copy of the Septuagint, which I had wanted.
Wow!
And so comparing the Septuagint with other Hebrew translations to see kind of where it went sideways, because it did. I won't get into that. So now I'm thinking of the Septuagint and the Torah, and I'm a long ways away from those troubling thoughts.
Mm.
The next thing after that was I thought I could actually start praying. Now, if you were to take a time of an anger outburst and say you go to your pastor for counseling and you say, Pastor, I got these anger outbursts, and the pastor says, well, you need to pray. Or I've had people with like porn addictions and you know, and such alcohol addictions. Yeah, I get the urge and the temptation. And if I were to say to them, well, you need to just pray, they would probably say, I've tried that. That doesn't work.
But have they really?
Well, the thing is, there might be steps to that. They may not be able to get right to prayer.
Mm, okay.
So this is where we get down to something that might work for people. First of all, if you feel this thing, you need to win the neurological battle. You need to get something in your brain that will generate some dopamine and get you away from this addictive thought or something. So what do you do? I mean, I have clients who are into robotics. I have clients who are into art and painting. I have clients who are into writing poetry. Mm. I have clients who are into many things that they get excited about. So here's the temptation. Now, all you have to really do is make the decision to switch to something, not anything, but something that actually you could get excited about thinking about. So I tell one young man, you know, try to imagine a robot that you need to create to perform a certain function, you know, or he was thinking about, or some people that do computer coding. Mm. Try to think of a code that would do a particular thing. And you say, well, you know, well, I'm not into coding. Well, whatever you're into, whether it's, you know, art or cooking or whatever, first of all, you have to get a hold of your mind, and you've got to say, think about something that would interest you, whether it's hiking, photography, whatever, and think about that thing. And that quickly, you are no longer a slave to that thought. Now, you can choose to go back, but you don't want to do that. You want to just really be saturated with this project that you've got on your mind, and it's got to be something that you'd get excited about anyway. And from that, you have some choices. Now you can move gradually towards something else, another thought, and eventually you do want it to be about something that is bringing you closer to the Lord. But the point being, you may not be able to make that quantum leap.
So take smaller steps,
mm-hmm. and something that will generate some dopamine in your brain, because that's what the addiction would be doing, or that. Mm-hmm. So to wrap up, number one, you have to get control of your thoughts. So you've got to have something that's going to generate some thought process. So get out of your lower brain, and then the second step is gradually direct your thoughts toward the Lord. Now, what do we call this? It's called taking every thought captive, and you want to get to the place where you do this with all the negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And eventually, we get to the place where we can take the direct leap from this temptation.
It takes training.
It takes training.
Takes some training and train some practice.
Train your brain.
So some techniques for taking every thought captive this week on the Sound Mind broadcast, kind of thing that you would learn if you were in actual counseling session or some kind of coaching session. Yeah. Counselor and life coach Daniel Pryor. People are intrigued. And they want to find out more about your services. How do they get in touch with you?
My phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. I'm doing a lot of Zoom counseling because people have found out, particularly with all the traffic in this rural area, or if you're living or this urban area, or if you're living further out. So that works for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I have two offices, Kirkland and Edmonds. I've given you the phone number, and also people can email me. If you do email me, please check your spam because I will respond back. And if you give me a phone number, I will call your phone number, but your mailbox might be full.
What's the email?
The email is DanielPryor@BibleBasedCounselor.com. DanielPryor@BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.